You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
We have been doing a series, and it started out on Resurrection Sunday. And the name of the series, if you guys can help me out, what's the name of the series if you remember it? Outbreak. That's the name of the series, Outbreak. And of course, some people have even come up to me and say, you know, what do you mean by the name of this series being Outbreak? And let me explain a little bit more, just to kind of explain what we're talking about when we're saying outbreak, is that something incredible happened when Jesus died on the cross. And this is the power of it, is that his death was not the ending. It was the beginning of something. It was not the ending of something. It was the beginning of something. And many people did not know what God was beginning. People will say this in teaching. I'm going to teach to you this morning. And if you don't mind teaching, I might give it a little preach on, because I feel this thing, especially after that time with that mama. But I want to teach you this morning. And one of the things that you got to understand about the cross was that the cross was not a tragedy. The cross was a triumph. I'm going to say it again. The cross was not a tragedy. The cross was a triumph. And specifically, the reason why it was a triumph is because what God decided to do, the first man, Adam, had children, and Cain slew Abel. And the scripture says that Abel's blood cried from the ground. And it cried a big cry. Why? And there was not a righteous man that was totally righteous before God. We learned from Pastor Tracy that word, that name Abel, literally means just brief. It means breath of wind. It's the same word that we get the word vanity, just nothing, because his life was snuffed out right in the prime for nothing. And his blood cried from the ground. Well, when Jesus came, he came for blood. I'm going to say that again. You didn't get that. That was deep. When Jesus came, he came for blood. He wasn't over here playing around. He wasn't here being cute. He wasn't here just to walk around holding lambs in his hand and having a little ring on top of his head that maybe you can see if you deep enough. No, he literally came for every soul on the face of the earth. And he didn't come to play. He came to win. So he came for blood. And the way that he knew to come for blood is he had to give his blood. So when his blood spilled on the ground, the entire earth was touched by the touching. It says in the book of Psalms, it says, heaven and earth have met together, have kissed. It was something about Jesus' blood being a righteous man before God, his blood. And when it touched that earth, this entire earth was never the same again. And we found that out by 50 days later. And this is what I want to talk about, the 50 days later. We said this whole outbreak series is called 50 days later. It's because take it from the idea of these men and women that possibly did not really know Jesus, but just saw him. Maybe the Pharisees' idea or the Sadducees' viewpoint. All they saw was that this man that was this radical man preaching great things, he died, he was killed, and all of his followers seemed to scatter. Seemed like, you know, they were willing to just give their lives, and they were so bold, but then when their leader died, they all scattered, they were all afraid, they all whimpered and went into hiding, into caves, they went into rooms, they got away. But then 50 days later, something happened. Something happened on the day of Pentecost that caused these men and women who were whimpering and scouring and scared to come up out of that place bold, full of the same thing that Jesus was filled with. And so the same way that Jesus came to this earth on a mission and he came for blood, all of a sudden, emerging out of that 50 days were these 120 people that said, he came for blood, I'm coming for blood too. And they changed the entire earth from this outbreak. Somebody say outbreak. They changed the entire earth, and the earth was never the same. Well, 2 weeks ago, Pastor started it all off, and he did this message called The Mystery Revealed. And the mystery revealed, and Pastor talked about how it was a mystery. Not know what was God really doing? What was he up to? But he revealed what he was up to when Jesus came on the face of the earth. And then he preached last week, he preached a mystery. How many of you guys remember this? The mystery identity. We no longer walk around wondering and hoping that God just shows up. We no longer have to kind of treat our relationship with God like a roll of the dice. It might work, it might not. But Jesus showed himself he was. In fact, Jesus showed who the Father really was. One of my best friends in ministry, his name is Ephraim Smith, and he says it like this: if you want to know what God thinks about you, read Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Look at Jesus, because Jesus is the perfect expression of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is exactly what God thinks about you. So the identity is no longer a mystery. If you want to know God, come to know Jesus. Well, that was a good message last week. Amen. And so this week, we're going to go further from the mystery when that thing gets planted into the earth, just like Jesus was planted into the tomb and the earth was never the same. Then it began to grow, whatever took place, just like a plant. Now, this whole idea, we'll talk about this, but this 50 days on the day of Pentecost, what Pentecost was about was a celebration of a harvest. So in other words, something gets planted into the earth. 50 days later, there's this great harvest and we celebrate. Jesus was planted in the earth, rose from the dead. He affected his other 120, his 12, his 120. They affected so many people. That day of Pentecost, 3,000 were added to the church, and the earth has never been the same since. There was an, help me out, somebody say there was an outbreak. There was an outbreak. Today we're going to go further, and we're going to get to the place where we're going to start actually looking and seeing and understanding what it is beyond a mystery. Is literally what I like to call a blessing. So this morning, we're going to talk part one of the message that I like to share with you, and I simply call it the contagion of a blessing. I'm going to say that again, the contagion of a blessing. Now, I know some of y'all are saying, what do you mean contagion? The contagion of a blessing? Well, just pray with me, and we're going to see what God has to say to us. Amen? In fact, let's pray this morning. Daddy, thank you for such a wonderful day. Thank you for our mothers, Lord. Wow, what a wonderful, wonderful spirit it is in this place to acknowledge the love that you've placed inside a mother, and that a mother would say, I didn't even know that I was carrying a pastor inside of me. God, sometimes we don't even know because the blessing is so hidden. But God, help us today discover that blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. The contagion of a blessing. Now, I know when you look at the word contagion, you're saying the contagion of the blessing. Now, we had happy feelings, and now you're talking about contagion and sickness and contagion and just, why are you going there? What are you talking about, Pastor? And just look at somebody and help me out. And just look at them and say, excuse me, but I'm blessed. And I'm blessed. And you got to be careful, because what's in me might get on you. Look at them. Just tell them, what's in me might get on you. See, excuse me, I went to a meeting one night, and my heart wasn't right, and something got a hold of me, and so excuse me, because it might get on you if you get too close to me. If you start messing around with me, what's on the inside of me might get on it. I want to talk to you about the contagion of a blessing, the blessing. Now, the word contagion is interesting, because, of course, when you hear that word contagion, you thought negative. You thought something sick. And if you go to dictionary.com and look up the word contagion, for the first four definitions, it literally gives that. You can't see it on the screen there. Let's go on and go a little, zoom in a little bit more, hit that next one, and it gives you, maybe you can read it a little bit better, but the first definition is the communication of a disease or direct or indirect contact. That's not what I'm preaching on. Don't want that one. A disease so communicated, no, the communication is close. The medium by which a contagious disease is transmitted. I'm really talking more about the medium. Number four, a harmful or undesirable contact or influence. But number five is what I really, really want to look at, this fifth definition. It says a ready transmission or spread as of an idea or an emotion from person to person. Kind of like a contagion of fear. You ever heard that concept? Where something just spreads, an idea just spreads all over, and it can't be stopped once it's out. That's the idea of what we're going to talk about, and that's the word picture that I want you to hear when you hear this word, contagion of a blessing. This is part one. Of course, go ahead and hit that next one. This is part one. Next week, we'll talk about part two, but part one, instead of just the contagion part, I'm not going to talk about contagion. I want to talk about what it is, the contagion of a blessing. Say it again, a blessing. So we're going to actually talk about the blessing, and next week we'll talk about how that blessing spreads or the contagion of it. So the blessing is what we're going to talk about first, and I want to deal with what the contagion is before we talk about what the contagion does. Yes, contagion spreads, but what is actually spreading? What is actually spreading is, help me out, it is the, not a blessing. Oh, there you go. Oh, wait a minute. I got some Bible students in here. There's a difference. Wait a minute. If somebody just, God bless you. And this says, bless. Why bless me? That's so cool. That's, you ain't looking for that. Bless. You're looking for, you mean there's a difference? You just don't want a blessing. You want. See, because there is an incredible blessing that, according to scripture, is called the blessing, and it is the blessing that all other blessings derive from. And I'll say it again, it is the blessing that all blessings really derive from. There is a major mammoth blessing, and we're going to visit the book of Genesis to see and understand what that major blessing is. Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis 28th verse. This is the second time that this word blessed is mentioned in the scripture. The first time is when God created animals and gave them a will, and their particular will is more dominated by the back of their brain, which we call it it's not the prefrontal cortex, it's the back, the limbic system. They operate out of urges and impulses. But God blessed their impulses and their urges to the point where he said, I'm going to bless you to where you, when you're blessed, you multiply. But when God blessed man, he blessed them not only at the urges, the back, but the front part of their brain, which is called the prefrontal cortex. In other words, your ability to make decisions and choose what you will and will not do. And when he blessed us, we were fully cognizant of that blessing. So let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 28, and it says this. Let's read it. It says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful. Now hit this next one. Hit this next one. This idea of God blessing them. Just go and hit the word bless. Now, we learned last week in offering, we learned that the word bless in the Hebrew is the word, help me out, is Barak or Baraka. And isn't that interesting? Barak, just pray. Praise the Lord. I like that. I said, Okay. So anyway, the name Barak is a blessing. And that is where the Hebrew, it says God, Barak or Baraka. He blessed them. And that word literally, there's a couple of ideas and words that can kind of give you the word picture. It's one is to speak well of. Two is to kind of say, this is what I want, how I want it, also to design it to be well. Or another one that I really want to get to is hit this next space bar, is activate. Somebody say activate. Say it again, say activate. Y'all remember when you were kids? I remember when I was a kid and I used to have my Captain Crunch on Saturday mornings, and I used to look at the Super Friends. Super Friends, and the Wonder Twins would get there, and man, I don't care what's going on. If the Wonder Twins ever got them two rings together and they say, Wonder Twins, woo, if they ever activate, it's over for Solomon Grundy or whoever else it was that was the villain. It's over because the Wonder Twins activated. I want you to keep that word picture of activate in your mind when you hear the word blessed, because that's literally what it's saying, is God blessed them or he activated them. Woo! Just let that settle in your soul. God blessed them or he hit the next space bar. This is it, what it says. And so let's look at it from that way. How did he activate them? He activated them to be what? To be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth. They were active to be fruitful. They were active not only to be fruitful, but to multiply. Not only to be fruitful and multiply, but nonstop, to literally fill the earth. Are you activated this morning? Are you activated this morning? Let's keep going. He said to fill the earth and to go and hit the next one. To fill the earth, to subdue it, to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over, what's the last one? And over every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. God's idea for them to be activated, let me give you this as my point, is that the blessing is the activation of three specific areas. It's the activation of the plan, the promise, and the purpose. When he said, help me out, when he said, activate. When God blessed them, he created man. He created, I like to say it like this. This is my favorite word picture. He created a statue and went in front of the statue and said, smell my breath. And the statue said, came to life. He activated it. See, because some of us are walking around as statues. There is nothing within us. We go to work. We go home. We see our spouse. We kiss our spouse. We pat our kids on the head. We feed the dog and kick the cat. And then go back to work. And then come back home. We kiss the spouse. Pat the kid on the head. Feed the dog. Kick the cat. Go to work. Come back home. Kick the spouse. Feed the children. Because somewhere up here, we lost activation. And so we're just operating within just patterns, and we're alive, but we're not living. And so when God activated it, it activated the plan, the promise, and the person. Somebody say out loud, activate. Let me just say it again. Say out loud. Let me hear you say it. Say activate. Yes, one more time. Go and hit that space bar. Go on so you can see it. I want you to see it on the screen. Somebody look at somebody and just point to them prophetic, like you had a prophetic finger that when you point and you speak, things happen. Look at them and say, activate in the name of Jesus. Activate. I want to illustrate this idea of activating. To help me out, to illustrate this idea of activate, I want to show you something. I want to take it way back. I want to take it way, way, way back. Jalen, if you're here, just hold on just for a second, though. If you're here, I want to show you a picture. Let me show you this. This is a picture from way back. I'm going to take you all back in the day. That's me. Woo, Jesus. Woo, that was me back in the day. And I'm an 80s kid, and grew up in the 80s, late 70s and 80s and 90s, and that was me. I had to be about 14, 15 years old. I thought I was smooth, man. Natural. This picture actually came together from my man David in the back. He found, I don't know where he found that picture of me way back in the day, but he found that and put that together and put a picture of me a couple of years ago when I had my full beard. And somebody asked me, he said, where did your hair go? I said, I just moved it like that. That's what happened. I just, yeah, still all there. But I remember coming up in the 80s, you know, and I kind of wanted to be in. And I remember at one particular moment, my mother was a hairdresser. My mom was a hairdresser, and I married a hairdresser. Praise God. I love being around people that love making people look beautiful. And I remember my mom, she talked me into getting this trend that was going on. You know, if you guys remember back in the 80s, some things happened. There was this idea of a curl. If y'all remember the curl, now, I wanted something to help me out, you know, right there. And so I found this, I got this curl, and it didn't last long. I got this curl, and I was one of those rough kids, you know. I didn't walk around all the time, you know, with it. So I didn't have my activator all the time. My activator, go hit that next, you know what I'm talking about, having that activator. And the problem with having a curl, the problem with having a curl is that you set, but you gotta have that. You best to have that activator with you on hand at all times. Okay, because if you don't, it'll dry up, and once it starts drying up, it starts shaping in a certain way, and you kinda get that biscuit haircut. You know what I'm talking about? It just looks like a big biscuit on top of your head, and it really don't work right when you're trying to go and talk to some females. I'm thankful that, you know, I got things together. It was the 90s when I met my wife. You know, I had the smooth high top fade, because if she would have saw me back there with the biscuit, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know if things would. I don't know. You know, I don't know if things. So I was busy, you know, and I finally found the activator. Okay. Help me out, Jalen. Now help me out. I finally found the activator, you know, and I'm going to show y'all one of the things. I kind of got this to help me out. See, like I was saying.
Put that on my cape,
because the thing about, Jesus, woo, God have mercy, help me, Jesus. I'm going to show y'all what I found. I'm going to show you what I found. I literally found I told you my wife is a hairdresser, so she has all kinds of stuff. This is a throwback, y'all. This is Carefree Curl Gold. And so it's not just the regular, but it's Carefree Curl Gold. And so what you constantly had to do while you're doing your thing is you couldn't just go out the door like this. You had to apply, help me out, the... So here you go. And you know, if you back there, you know back in the day, and I got this cape on because it's going to get all over me, because you know it would get all over you and all over your walls and all over your stuff. And so you was... Oh, you got to get the kitchen. And you would get tired, but you got to shake that activator. Shake. Look at somebody and say, shake that activator. Shake that. You'd have to shake. And it would take you too long. I'd get late to school from shaking the activator and trying to make it get just right. Let me tell y'all one of the problems with the activate. Somebody say activate. Go and hit that next space bar. Let me hit that next space bar. Activate. Now, hit the next one. Hit the next one. Because here's my point. Lord, I got just glycerin all over me. Just y'all thought it was the anointing. That's glycerin. And you can't have a lot of glycerin in hot lights, because as Michael Jackson, you just can't have a lot of glycerin all over you all the time. But here's the problem with that type of activator. See, it was activator, but apparently, my hair, the way it was designed in the first place, wasn't really designed to be like that in the first place. So in other words, what I was doing was I was trying to modify the plan and bend it to my own way. And so as a result, all I did was I was walking around, but the plan Africa was calling me back. And every time Africa would call me back, I would say, I go out there, Africa called me back. Why? There was a conflict because I was not in alignment with the plan. See, some of us do the same thing in our church life. You come around the people of God, and you come around church, and you think that God is doing something, but it's all on the outside. And so all you're doing in church is... And then when you go out there to your club, and you go out there to your boo, and you go out there and hang out with your other friends, that world starts calling you back. And so you come back here next week to get a little... Look, how many of y'all want to worship God from the inside out? I don't want nothing on the outside trying to pull. I want to line up with the plan. I need the right plan. So that's not the level of activation that I'm talking about. Somebody say that's not the level of activation. I'm not talking about activate like that. Now, a couple of years ago, I bought a new van. And man, I bought this new van. I was all excited about it because when I went to go, you know, get the van, they told us all the stuff that the van will do. Most important thing that the van will do, they promised me that it will get me from point A to point B. And I was like, I need that because the van that I had broke down and so I couldn't get to point B. So they said, I promise you that this van will get you from point A to point B and point C, D, E, F, G. And so I'm like, good, good. And then they also promised me other things like this van, you know, it was going to be comfortable because it has AC in it. So you'll be nice and cool when you're driving. I'm like, yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that. And they said, well, you know what? Also, this van, it has a beautiful entertainment system in it. And I'm like, yeah, I like that too. And the van has a DVD pop down so the kids can look at DVDs when you're traveling on the road. I'm like, I like that. I liked all of that. I'm like, yeah, I'm with that. I want that. So I got inside the van and I'm ready to go and access all of these promises. And I'm sitting inside the van and I'm excited, but none of the promises are working for me. I'm getting frustrated because I'm looking at the van and I'm saying, come on, van. You said you would do this. You would get me from point A to point B. And you'll be me, and I'll be nice. It's hot in this van. What's wrong with the van? Somebody tell me what's wrong with the van. What was the problem? Go and hit that space bar. What was the problem? The problem is that I had all of these promises, but I had no access to activation. Ooh, Jesus, I feel like preaching this thing. Have you ever been in a place where you had all of these promises, but for some reason, you do not have access to activation, and you can sit there and be so excited and happy about all the promises that you have, but you cannot. You can't activate it. Hit the next one. There's a funny thing about this van. I had this van. I love the van. But the truth is that it's a van. And the promises in a van, they kind of limited because now it's right when I paid that van off. Praise the Lord, we paid the van off last year. This time last year, we paid that van off. But now all of a sudden, right when, I don't know how they planned this, but right when I paid it off, some of the promises start saying, well, you know, I could get you to A to B, but I'm going to get you about to A to kind of A and a half, and then you're going to have to go on and do a little something to get to B. And, you know, well, it's not going to be as cool as it used to be, you know, back in 2009, 2012 when you first bought me. It's 2014, and, you know, I was tired. The van is tired. How the van going to be tired? I'm tired. I'm paying for you. But the truth is, it's something that's man-made. And so man's promise is always limited. and it eventually will wear out. Why are you depending on him to tell you that he gonna be there for you all the time? Honey, you better learn how to activate what's on the inside of you, and don't worry about any man promising you you have all that you need. Now, let me. I got one last illustration right here. And this illustration right here, in order to show it to you, I'm going to have to get inside of it, because it's a beautiful thing. It's an apple. And
Oh my. Powerful.
So refreshing. As good as that was, still is. I got more to do with this apple, but I got to preach right now. So me and you, a little bit later on. That apple was good. It was good. But the beautiful thing about God's creation, I just dropped my seed. Let me get to it. Pull up that seed on the screen. Is God's creation is an incredible creation. Because as good as that apple was, deep in the core of what that apple is a promise for that apple to continue to flow and go on and be even better than what you thought it was. Because on the inside of that apple is a promise for more apples. Woo! On the inside, see, some of us, we just deal with the flesh of the apple. That's the outside. And I love that flesh. That flesh is good. That was some good apple. You don't go around eating the seed of the apple. You eat the flesh. And some of us, we only operate in the flesh and think that's good. But if you ever learn how to get to the core, to the seed of what you really are, then let me tell you something. Just what you are is just a foreshadow of what you can be. There's so much more. There's so much more to who you are. There's so much more to what you are, but it's only on the inside. And you've got to learn how to get to, look at somebody and say, get to the inside. Now, what's powerful, I was in biology in college, and I remember when they were saying this, and I was in class, and they were talking about the idea of a seed, and they said, what's powerful about a seed is that everything that the seed needs is already inside of it. Everything. It doesn't need to get instruction from anybody on how to grow. It doesn't have to take classes. It doesn't have to have a seminar. It just has it all packed in it. The only thing that it needs. And they said this, and when they start saying this, I start having church in class. I was humming, They were looking at me, I was like, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, but it was good. Because they said, this is what they said about the seed. They said, the seed is just waiting for something to activate it. Hit the next one. Go ahead. See, when God activates something, it has the right plan. It was planned out. It was designed to be an apple. So I'm not trying to strive with the plan. It has the right promise. Everything that's on the inside, it is already promised to be there. But now it's the right purpose. It can take over the world. Just this one apple seed has the potential of millions of apples. What incredible purpose that's right within this seed. All it needs is to activate. They said this about the seed. They say some seeds can survive in desert lands. Some seeds can survive in freezing temperatures, and they still pack everything. They found seeds that's over 1 million years old. And then when they put it in the right atmosphere, all of a sudden when it had the right water, the right atmosphere, the right soil, it activated. They literally found grass seeds and wheat seeds hundreds of years old. And when they activate that seed, it kicks in and the circle of life starts all over again. So with that in mind, I want us to go to the first chapter, as we got about 10 more minutes to go here. I want us to go to the first chapter of Luke. This is Mother's Day, ain't it? Let me talk about one of the most blessed mothers that's on the face of the world, of the earth, that's in the universe. She's a blessed little woman. And the Bible talks about the angel of God coming to her and tell her how blessed she is, and that God is going to do something great in her life. And it says this: behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And I want you to skip down to the 37th verse, and let's just kind of walk through some of this. Go ahead, hit the next one. It says, for with God. Now, if you want to know some history behind it, I don't have time to go through the whole thing, but just read your Bible. Read your Bible, because she was saying, how is all of this going to happen? And the angel, long story short, just said, with God, nothing will be impossible. So the next one is, she said this. She said, so Mary said, well, behold, the maidservant, I'm the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. And then the angel left from her. Now, the angel said, you're going to be pregnant. You're going to conceive. And she said, your cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant already, and you're pregnant now. Now, this was interesting. Next verse, it says this. It says, now Mary arose in those days. What days? The days of her first pregnancy. She arose and went to the hill country with haste. Why did she go with haste? Let me tell you why she went with haste. She's a virgin, and she just got pregnant. The Bible says that Joseph was kind of embarrassed, and he wanted to just put her away. He wanted to silently divorce her and just kind of throw her away. But God said, don't do that. Couldn't you imagine this little 13-year-old girl pregnant? Now, I know the history of my family. I know when my mother got pregnant with my older brother, she got out of Dodge. She just got away. She was a little embarrassed. I think this is the same thing that happened. I think that Mary just kind of got away. She went to a hill country, and the thing that was hidden on the inside of her, hidden on the inside, she not fully knowing what it is, she got away from everybody, because everybody don't understand. This is a message for you. Everybody don't understand what's on the inside of you. And they start looking at you funny when you start letting what's on the inside of you be what it is. And they start looking at her funny and treating her funny. And so she got away from there, and she went to the hillside. She went to the hill country with haste into the city of Judah. Hit the next one. And it says, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and she greeted Elizabeth. I love this next verse, because just plain old natural Mary, just being Mary, all she did is say, hey, cousin, what's going on, girl? How you doing, girl? Just being herself. But the Bible says this. Hit the next one. It says, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting that the babe leaped in her womb. Some scholars tell us that when John was in Elizabeth's womb for 6 months, the baby didn't move. They didn't know if it was a miscarriage or not. She walked around for 6 months feeling no movement, feeling no baby. Those of you mothers, y'all know how it is to feel that baby moving. When my wife was pregnant with our babies, the whole world would stop. You remember that? She was like, oh, stop everything. Look, I mean, I'm looking at TV. I'm looking at sports. She's like, stop everything. Look at this. And I look at it, and it was the weirdest thing, man. I remember once I saw a foot. I saw the impression of a foot just leap out of her stomach, and I was like, whoa, that's wild. Couldn't you imagine? Couldn't you imagine 6 months not having any of that joy? None of that. But when plain old Mary, just being Mary, walked in the door and said, "Hey, Elizabeth," something leaped inside that baby, Elizabeth's womb, and it says that the babe leaped in her womb. And what's the next one? It says this, and it says, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. What I love about that was this. It wasn't Mary's voice that caused the thing on the inside of Elizabeth to jump. It was the thing on the inside of Mary that caused the thing on the inside of Elizabeth to jump. Some of y'all are coming here waiting for me to say something. I don't want to say something. I want the thing that's on the inside of me to talk to the thing that's on the inside of you. I want something to jump up in the side of you to where you realize it's time to activate. See, what happened with Mary is the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that deep called unto deep and something took place. And this is what it says, the next verse, it says this, and she spoke with a loud voice and said, help me out, blessed or activated, keep going, are you among women, and blessed or something on the inside of you is so activated that it activated something on the inside of me. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. Does anybody here, did you come to church to get something activated on the inside of you? I mean, did you come to church just because it's Mother's Day and you wanted to wear your hat and you wanted to treat your mama nice? You know you got to be here for Easter, Christmas, and Mother's Day. You CME, Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day. You CME. I don't care. It's all right. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I'm CME too. I better be in church. Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day. But you know what? I didn't come here just to be here to point something, just to mark something off. I came here to get something on the inside of me activated. Because I know just like that seed, it's already in me and everything that I need is in me. I just have to get activated. See, we talked about the purpose or the promise of the seed. We talked about the plan of the seed. But what about the purpose of the seed? What was that was on the inside of Mary? What was that? What was that? Go on, hit that next one. What was that? That was the next one after that. What was that was on the inside of Mary? To understand what was on the inside of Mary, you got to understand the third chapter of the book of Genesis, when God gave the prophecy that the Son of Man, that the seed of the woman would come and change mankind. What was literally on the inside of Mary was a seed of something that was completely different, yet it was the same. It was just an ordinary man, but it was no ordinary man. There was something on the inside of Mary that had the potential of changing the entire planet. And when that seed was activated, all that was in that seed changed the world. Now, what does it come? What do you need to do? Let me tell you three things and I'm going to let you go. We got 2 minutes to go. Number one. What you got to do in order to see the purpose of the seed that's on the inside of you truly come to fruition is, first of all, you got to feed just what the blessing craves. I'm going to say that again. I don't know if you got that, but I'm going to say it again. I'm going to slow down a little bit and teach to you right now. Learn how to feed just what the blessing, because the blessing's on the inside of you. The blessing will lead you. The blessing will guide you. The blessing, once the blessing is activated, there is no stopping the blessing. So what do you got to do? Learn to feed what the blessing craves. Do I have any mamas here that can give me a witness? You remember when you had them crazy cravings and you were like, what in the world? Why is it that I want some pickles and ketchup and Why is it? And you were probably in your mind freaking out and shrimp. But something on the inside said, I need this from the shrimp, and I need that from the ketchup, and I need that from the pickles, so get it to me. And so you just got it to you. You know that the blessing on the inside of you is saying, I need a little bit of Psalms today, and I need a little bit of Proverbs, and I need you to jump on over there to the New Testament and give me a little Paul. I need some Paul. I need some Paul. Baby, stop starving the blessing. Feed the blessing what the blessing craves. Feed the blessing just what the blessing craves. Oh, God, I wish I had time to walk through this to tell you that there have been times in my life when the blessing, the word, God's promise on the inside of me start craving, and I have to get up early in the morning. I have to get up late at night when everybody else is asleep, and I have to get up and get the blessing was saying, get on your knees. I need some time. I need some time. And you got to get on your knees and stop worrying about what everybody else is thinking and doing and saying and feed the blessing. Help me out. Just what? Feed the blessing, just what the blessing craves. Number two is you got to make room for the blessing. Do I have a witness, mothers, that once you started getting pregnant, you have to make room? You can't wear that little tighty tight no more. You have to make room. Why did you have to make room? Because this thing is growing, and it's growing exponentially. That's one of my favorite words. It's growing exponentially. It's not growing at a normal rate. It's growing at an incredible rate. And the best thing that I can do is make room. Now, let me tell you something about the blessing. When little baby Jesus came out, his purpose was not to remain baby Jesus. His purpose was not to remain that sweet little baby Jesus. His purpose was to grow. And I'm saying that for you too. Despise not the day of small beginnings, but realize that the blessing that's on the inside of you, it comes in seed form. It starts out small, but it's not meant to stay small. It's not meant to stay cramped. It's not meant to stay huddled down and huddled in this little cramped area. So you got to start making room. First place you start making room is in your mind. Stop thinking small. I'm saying something to somebody. I don't know if you're getting this. I don't know if you're going to get this, but you're going to get this word today. Somebody need to stop thinking small. You're thinking small, and as a result, the Spirit of God is cramped. It can't expand and give you vision. And God is saying, I want to give you vision. Make room for the blessing. Make room for the blessing. Make room for the blessing. Get out of the box that you're in and start seeing what God can do among you. Make room for the blessing. Third, so we can get out of here, is number three, is let. See, this is the purpose of the blessing. Remember back in Genesis 1? Well, somebody, if you can quote, if you can recite the blessing to me, what was the blessing? Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. The purpose of the blessing is to take over. Are you putting a rein on the blessing? Some of you get a little happy. Some of you get a little excited. And you say, oh, hold it right there. You know, we're just regular folk. You know, we're just African Americans over here. We need to stay in our corner. Stay over here. And God is saying, no, you got to learn how to let the blessing take over. You know what? We're just Americans, you know, and we just can't go out and just tell everybody we just got to stay in this way. No, you got to take over. You know what? I'm just a regular human being. Whatever. No, you're not just a human being. You're literally a born again spirit that's having a human experience. And so there's so much more that you can do if you simply let the blessing take over. I guarantee you, the blessing, if you let it take over, it can be a blessing to that job that you're on. And before you know it, you see yourself elevating and getting to places, not necessarily of just being the high boss. I'm talking about being the most influential person on the job. How can you do that when you let the blessing take over? Stop trying to take over yourself and let the blessing take over. When you let the blessing take over, it activates. I just want to say that for a couple times. I just want to say it. Activate. I'm looking at your eyes. Activate. I don't know what it is. I don't know. But what is in you? I'm speaking a blessing to it right now. And I'm saying, activate. Gift of healing. Activate. Entrepreneur. Activate. Mama. Activate. God have mercy. Father. Woo. Father. Activate. So I don't know how to be a daddy. I didn't have no daddy. You don't have to. The seed is on the inside of you. The blessing's on the inside of you. Activate. Some people are fighting poverty right now. You're saying, how do I get out of this? How do I ever get out of this? How do I get to the next level? Activate. Hallelujah. We're in prayer. We done stepped into a new realm right here, because I feel it in the spirit. Activate. Oh, God, I'm looking at your eyes and I see it. Somebody believes that I can activate this week. Activate. Andre, wherever you're at, come on up here and play. Come on, because it's time to activate.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.